This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
This is Michelle Spencer, the founder of the Legal Learning Development Network. I'd like to welcome you to the latest LMS Deep Dive podcast. We're going to be alternating each month between podcasts and peer shares, giving people some ideas initially, and then also a forum to share ideas with each other about how to get more value out of your learning management system. Today's topic is going to be reporting, and it's one of the most important and sometimes frustrating features of an LMS. Because firms have different needs, it can sometimes be difficult to get exactly what you need in your report. Fortunately, most learning management systems offer the ability to export reports to Excel where they can be manipulated. And of course, that's provided that you have the Excel chops needed to do so. And we'll share what type of reporting they're doing, as well as how they are getting the data they need. And then one last thing before I introduce the panel. On March 29th, we will have the follow-up peer share on LMS reporting, so please join us for that. And our next topic is going to be e-learning in the LMS. The podcast will be in April with the peer share scheduled for May. So I'd like to invite the panelists to introduce themselves now. We'll start with Claire Morris.
Hello. I'm the IT Training and Business Analysis Manager for McDermott, Will & Emery. We have approximately 1,100 attorneys in our firms across the globe, with approximately 2,300 in total. We have a L&D team size of 10, and our LMS that we use is Cyber Cloud.
Great. Thanks, Claire. And next up is Sean McGinty.
I'm Sean McGinty. I'm the Senior Learning and Development Engineer for Carlton Fields. We're a 370 attorney, little over 700 user firm. Our L&D department is 3 to 4 full-time employees, and the LMS we're using is eLogix Essentials LMS.
Great, thanks. And last but not least, Ms. Lida Pinkham.
Hi, I'm Lida Pinkham. I'm the technology training manager here at Ice Miller. We have about 300 attorneys, just over 600 employees spread across 7 offices. There are 2 other trainers in addition to myself, and we are using Tutor Pro as our LMS.
Great. Thanks, everyone. So we're going to start off very high level by talking about what type of reports you provide for management. Do you provide them or do they do their own reporting? And are your reports provided for HR, IT, both, who else maybe? And then how often you're providing those reports. So we'll let Claire kick off the responses on this question.
Well, we provide quite a range of reports. They're not really requested by management, to be fair. We provide them for ourselves, and then in the event that management might ask us for them once in a while, or we just can provide them just for information where we feel it's necessary. So at this moment, we don't have management sort of hounding us for those reports, but we like to have them there just in case. For HR, we do reporting mainly on compliance, which is also for PD, to be fair. So we do 2 types of reports. We do one for HR, which is to show them who hasn't taken the compliance and policies taking e-learning, and also for PD as well. So both of them are needing to know those reports. We don't really do so many reports for IT as such, but again, the reports that we run could be suitable for them, but they haven't actually really asked for any sort of LMS reporting from us at this moment. We do weekly reports on for classes and registrants. So each week we see whether what classes we have, how many we have registered for those classes for the next 5 days, and we run that once a week. And also once a week we run classes on past reports on the last week's classes, so how many classes we ran, the attendance per instructor. So those are the regular weekly reports that we do. And the compliance ones are run once a week as well for HR and PD.
Great. And Sean, what about you? What types of reporting are you doing for management?
For management, reports are kind of on demand. For the most part, we have departments that request reporting. Our general counsel, when we're doing our mandatory security awareness training once a year, wants to see, you know, who's attended, who hasn't. HR, you know, when we do mandatory training for compliance, they'd like to know the same. And then for our learning talent management department or PD department, we do reporting on their live events. And it's all pretty much on demand for us internally. We do reporting weekly on what e-learning is being consumed. And that's about it for management type reports.
Great. And Lida, how about you?
Yeah, we don't get asked very often, although at the end of every year, our firm has sort of a annual what happened at the firm, you know, a year in review kind of thing. And so HR and our chief managing partner always ask for the learning data. So I do put together a kind of high level summary report of the different types of learning, learning by role and learning by topic. And then HR does ask for reports on the learning that everybody has done during annual review time. So we pull that together for them during that time of year. And then you guys mentioned compliance. We actually don't run that report, but we kind of empowered our security officer who needs to manage that learning with reporting that he can run on his own. So he does kind of keep up with making sure people are doing the compliance learning. And right now all we have is security training at this time that falls into that category. But he takes care of that himself. He doesn't actually have to come to us for that. So that's kind of a nice thing.
I think it's great that you're enabling people to do their own reporting. I know a lot of training managers want to kind of keep control over everything, but that's a great way to get people more involved and engaged. I know several of you mentioned compliance, and that's one you always need to see, you know, who went through it, when, and how. One of the things that we struggled with was figuring out who were the stragglers, who were the people who had not. And that gets into our next question, which is about creating custom reports, because that's what we had to do to make that happen. So have you had to create custom reports or even do a lot of manipulation to make the data that you need workable? And if so, how are you accomplishing that? And Sean, will you kick us off for this one?
Of course. For those that attended our session at Ulticon or have watched it, you've seen the ridiculous menu that I have in my LMS when it comes to creating custom reports. So for me personally, anytime I'm asked to generate a report, I go ahead and build a custom report so that I don't have any extra data that when I do the export to Excel, I need to get rid of before I send it to somebody. So we have fine out-of-the-box reports in our LMS, but Logic integrated a report designer into their product that they purchased from a third party, and it's the most robust reporting engine that I've had a chance to use in, you know, 20 years, and we take full advantage of it. We use it for our compliance reports. We use it for our security reports. We use it for e-learning reports, instructor-led training reports. We've built custom reports for everything and for everyone who's asked for one. Most recently, we built a report for some upskilling that we're doing with our help desk. So that goes to their manager on a biweekly basis.
Great. Lida, what kind of custom reports or data manipulation are you having to do?
Well, our LMS has a pretty simple reporting system. There are six sort of standard reports out of the box, although you can get sort of Excel downloads in all kinds of places throughout. So for example, if you're looking at the course catalog, you can export the course catalog to an Excel spreadsheet. So there are a lot of ways to get data out that are not necessarily under the reporting feature, so to speak, but I would still consider them a type of report or a way to get data out of the LMS. The six reports, like I said, they're pretty simple. They have a lot of filters or ways that you can kind of narrow down the data within that report. But for most of them, I generally export them to Excel and then use Excel's capability to kind of summarize the data or create graphs of the data that I want to use. And luckily for me, I generally only do that once a year at the end of the year. So it's not too bad, and I'm really good at Excel, so that's easy for me. And so far, I've been able to get, you know, all the data that I need in the format that I need to get it in without too much effort. So it's worked for us. You know, I would love to have the ability to create some custom reports and especially schedule reports, but our LMS does not have that. So that would be on my wish list. And I don't think we even talk about that today, but scheduling reports, I missed that. I had that in a prior LMS, and be able to have those emails come automatically weekly for things like, you know, registrations of your courses or, you know, standard monthly reports that you might want to run was a nice feature that I missed. But for us, pretty simple, and I do a lot in Excel.
I think you highlight a couple of things in that having the ability to schedule reports is really nice, because then you just kind of set it and forget it. You don't have to monitor those things. And then having the ability to report on things that you don't think of traditionally as reporting, like the catalog and things like that. So Claire, what about you? What sort of custom reports are you doing and manipulation of your data?
Yes, and just sort of going back to that previous point, we are very lucky that we, in our LMS, we do and are able to have the scheduled reporting. And that is, as you say, highly useful to be able to do that. As you said, just click and forget about it, and it just drops into your inbox as and when you wanted it to. So yeah, that's one of the most useful things about our reporting. Regarding custom reports, Saba has massive amounts of reporting that you can do already set up. However, even the standard reports do need and require some kind of manipulation in any case. But we definitely have to create our own custom reports for various items, such as those who have not attended, those who have, not so much those who just didn't attend on that particular occasion, but if you wanted to do a report, which I like to do, on how many people, in particular individuals, have cancelled over a certain period of time. Are sessions not particularly well attended at certain times of the day? And sort of reports like that. Those are very complicated reports to do. And we are blessed with an absolute expert in Excel on our team. So luckily, he does a lot of those reports and probably dreads it when I pick up the phone to him and says, hey, we need this. But having said that, he does love Excel, so he's something that he really enjoys doing. But we would be struggling with our LMS for those kind of reports if we didn't have an Excel expert. And we do export all of our stuff to all of our data to Excel and do the manipulation of the reports within Excel itself, and then do charts, etc. in there. There are available charts and charting on the reports within Saba Cloud, but we still find it easier to produce the charts that we want once that data is in Excel. So apart from that, those are the real two sort of custom reports that we like to do from time to time. And again, like Lido, at the end of the year, we do a sort of all-in-one encompassing report on training from the LMS. And that would obviously require quite a lot of manipulating and customizing as well to do that.
Yeah, I definitely remember those end of year reports. And one of the things that I would tell people who are new to this is write down what you do when you do it, because a year from now, you may not remember, and you're going to spend a lot of extra time that if you had just simply written it down, you wouldn't need to spend. I think a couple of you hit on one point, which is producing the data in graph form versus just the sheer data. And I think that can really be helpful to key in on what's going on and make things a little more palatable for those who are viewing. And Claire, I liked that you hit upon a point of taking your data and figuring out another way to use it besides what you might consider in a canned report. For instance, what are the best times of day to hold classes? I'm doing some contract work with the firm right now, and we've noticed that our later afternoon classes are very less active. And so noting what times of day are popular, maybe days of week, things like that, I know it can be all over the place, but it's another way. So one thing that I'll mention that I did at my last firm, we worked with one of our database administrators because our LMS had a SQL backend. And even though we weren't able to get some of the reporting that we needed straight out of the LMS, she was able to create custom reports for us using the SQL reporting engine. And so that may be another way to get at the data that you need. So moving on to our next topic, what type of reporting do you do regarding your learning team? And how often is that information shared with your team? And is it just shared with the individual, or do you share that with the whole group? And Lida, would you kick us off on this question?
Sure. The way our LMS is set up and the way we manage the LMS as a team is that we actually all do the reporting and work in the LMS. So really, they self-monitor for the most part. I, you know, as a manager, do pop in there and kind of take a look at, you know, how our registration's going. I look at the surveys, what's the feedback we're getting on our classes. But as a general rule, throughout the year, unless there's a problem, they're generally just monitoring it on their own, and we're not necessarily like formally sharing things. We will share things as they pop up. Really, the more formal process is kind of at the end of the year when we want to kind of celebrate, take a look back, see what was successful, and then also take a look at, well, where could we maybe improve? Are there areas that we need to, you know, work on or fill in? But generally, it's kind of more of a self-reporting. You know, they're using it on their own, and they don't have to, you know, wait for me to get that feedback and information. It's a little more informal here than formal.
Got it. I'm guessing, Claire, with a much larger team, that yours may be a little more formal. So how about you? What sort of team learning team reporting are you doing?
Well, actually, Michelle, surprisingly, yes, a larger team, but still very much more along the same lines as Lida was saying. We don't make it that formal because we meet so regularly and discuss training in general and how it's going. Those kind of reports are discussed on a regular basis. So it remains informal in that our trainers are reporting themselves. So they look at the reports, they see how it's going, and we are all then discussing it, as I said, on a regular basis once a week ourselves anyway. So it's done very much as part of the team. The other point that Lida just mentioned, which is a good point, is about surveys and evaluations. That's another side of the reporting that we are just introducing now. We're just working on it. We didn't have that built into our LMS before, so now we're just about to embark on doing that. So in due course, that will be another very much a group discussion on evaluations and surveys, where we need to improve, where we need to do different kinds of sessions, et cetera, and all of that, which ones perhaps aren't benefiting and we need to drop, and where we do need to maybe do something different or improve. So, yeah, that's how we do it really with our reporting on our team.
Great, thank you. And Sean, how about you? What type of reporting are you doing regarding your learning team?
So our team, much like everybody else's, is rather laissez-faire, might be the word you want to use for how we handle things internally. We're a close-knit team. We have weekly meetings. I meet with our instructors / instructional designers on my own pretty frequently, and they all have a survey sent on them after they've completed a session, whether it's live and in person or whether it's a virtual session. Everybody can write a review on content in the LMS, whether it is instructor-led class or e-learning or virtual learning or a recorded webinar or video. So those data points are collected, but our manager has the state of mind when it comes to managing us that if it takes a sit down and for you to look at data and have him tell you that something's wrong, then we have a bigger problem on our hands. We have so many touch points with each other throughout the week that if somebody else hasn't brought something up or he hasn't brought it up to you and it takes a formal meeting, that we drop the ball somewhere.
Great. So I think several good points made there. First of all, weekly meetings and, you know, face-to-face or virtual, however you need to do it, having those regular conversations. And even though the data is there, you know, everybody's seeing it regularly. So something's going to stick out if there's something unusual going on. I also think that a couple other things that were mentioned there is the reporting that takes place within the LMS that's not really what you may think of as reporting, and that's surveys, rating courses, rating instructors, rating the e-learning modules that people are taking. So all of those are different data points that you can be looking at to improve your learning program overall. So great information. So moving on to our next topic, which is what types of reporting are available for the end users to see their own data in your learning management system? And do you have a feel for how that might be getting used by your learners? So Claire, you want to kick us off here?
Sure. Well, in CyberCloud, the page that the users can go and see their own data is called My Plan, and they access it through something called the Me tab. And through that portal site, they can actually then see what learning and certifications they have, certifications they've completed, what's, as far as their e-learning is concerned, what's in progress, what they've completed, what they're overdue on taking, so they can quickly see that as well. So that's the kind of reporting and data that they can see for themselves very quickly. If they then want to go into, there's a link from there to go into the actual reporting site. And from there, they can get a little bit more data, what's called a learner transcript, which allows them to see all the courses and the details of the classes that they've taken throughout a period of time, whatever period of time they really want to set it to. It could be for the year, it can be for over a couple of months or whatever. So they have that built in to run whenever they want. So that's what the end users have to see their own data. As for how we have a feel for how it's being used, there's no way we can tell from our end how many times those users use that ability or run those reports for themselves. So that's very much something that they do, but we don't have any data to reflect back to us as to how much they're doing that for themselves.
Great. And Sean, how about you?
So our users don't have access to the reporting module. However, they do have access to a transcripts tab. So it generates a user report on every piece of content that they've taken, whether they've finished it or whether it's partially completed.
Great. And do you know whether that's regularly being used or monitored at all?
Every time an attorney needs CLE credit, it's being
used. I bet.
So that's when we start getting the emails and the phone calls. How can I check when I took this class? And that's when we know it's being used, is because they're calling, they're looking for the information. We show it to them. They think it's great. And then we don't hear from them again.
Until the next year. And Lida, how about you?
ILMS is similar, I think, to both Claire and Sean's. There's not necessarily like a formal reporting feature, so to speak, but they can get all of their own personal data. You know, there's a section where they can see their courses that they signed up for or any courses they have in progress. The same with any learning paths, they can see their progress. And then if they have any surveys they need to complete for classes or learning they've done, those are all kind of on their dashboard, so to speak. And then they can go to their history. And similar to Claire, they can put in a date range and criteria in their history and pull off their own report that they can even download into Excel if they want to. It's just not called a report, but is essentially very similar to a report. I can't say for sure how often people use them, but I do know people use them because they tell us when we haven't processed attendance quick enough. They let us know, hey, I didn't get credit for taking such and such a class. Or if maybe an e-learning module isn't completing properly, they let us know because it's still sitting on their My Courses and hasn't gone to their history. And then also because, you know, part of their annual review, they are responsible for showing that they are, you know, doing continuing education. A lot of them, I believe, like to use that during that time of year. And our LMS does have the ability for them to add outside courses too. So if they've taken anything that wasn't offered internally and they feel that's important and they want that in their course history, they can add that information there. And so I do think people use it. It's just knowing how much is hard to tell, like Claire said.
Some great points. So knowing that for CLE, you know, people may be tracking that, you might get calls on that. Also knowing whether there's a problem with an e-learning module, I think that's a great point. If things are not clicking over to the history, it could indicate, you know, a problem that the user didn't watch all the way to the very end, or that there is a problem with the module. And then also the fact that this kind of reporting can be used for performance evaluations. I know that my former firm, we actually, as part of creating a learning culture, folks were required to have a certain number of hours of learning training activities each year. And so that was tracked at evaluation time and looked at. And so they were always very cognizant throughout the year and looking at that data. And so it was important that they easily be able to get to that data. And those were reports that we would actually run for HR monthly, because they wanted to be able to see monthly who was coming to training. And if it had been, you know, several months and someone wasn't coming to training, then they wanted to find out how they could make that happen. Sometimes it was that the person was chained to their desk, and so HR could kind of intervene and help make that happen. Or maybe it was that topics we were offering weren't relevant for that particular person or group. And so then we would figure out ways we needed to change that up. So that data can be used in some different ways too. So beyond what we have already discussed, how do you use the data gathered from your LMS report? So anything else that you have to add along those lines? Sean, you want to kick us off?
What we use a lot of the data that we gather from the LMS for is really needs analysis. So based on what e-learning courses are being taken, the frequency of them, the reviews for particular courses, we use all of that stuff to figure out what we should be offering more of, or whether we need to take a subject and go more in depth.
Great. And Lyda, how about you?
We use it similarly. Another thing we use the data for is sort of marketing purposes. We use it to look at who may have not taken a course, so that maybe we can target, do some targeted marketing towards people that we think might be interested in a course. And then a lot of times we're offering, you know, more advanced courses, and we'll look back and maybe see who was interested in that topic in the past and send targeted emails to those folks. And we actually get a lot of people to say, oh my gosh, thank you, because maybe they missed the newsletter email, or they haven't looked at the calendar in a while to see that we are offering a new course. And so people seem to have appreciated those targeted marketing. And then the other thing I think is it helps us see if we're on the right track, which I think it's kind of obvious, but one of the big things we learned last year was that people are using our recorded webinars, and I didn't really expect that. And that people are really doing the e-learning, and our numbers were really high, almost to the point over classroom instruction. I'm starting to see that kind of tipping point where people seem to be preferring self-directed learning over the classroom. I mean, people still want the classroom, but I think this is kind of the first time I've seen that tipping point. And so it's been kind of, without looking at that data periodically, you might not see or observe that. Putting it in a chart really helps too.
Yeah, so great way to see a trend and a shift in how people are using the things that you're providing. And I love the idea of targeted marketing. You know, if there's a group that you know would benefit and they're not, then, you know, that's an awesome way to hit on that. Claire, what about you?
Well, we use it, it's very useful, the data, for actually our own team. So at the end of sort of when it comes around to annual reviews, our trainers themselves can do a report to show how many sessions and training that they've actually offered and the attendance and the sort of feedback on those. So it's very useful for the team's own stats at annual review time, as well as end users, of course, who obviously can show their reporting to HR. We also use it to, each time we bring out a new attorney training program, we can use that for publicizing and marketing it to show how many sessions and which were the popular sessions. from the last course so that we can also say, you know, so many attorneys attended this. Here comes our new program. Then, you know, this was very popular from last year, so we'll be doing these ones. So it's very useful for marketing as well and publicizing a new program if you've already got data from the previous one to show that what was popular and to show their peers, well, your peers all came and enjoyed it from the last program. So if you don't know what it's about, come on board and sign up. And Lida made a very good point there. I'm busy writing it down because I like that one about the comparing, using the data to compare between e-learning and actually hands-on classes. I put my hands up. I haven't actually done that evaluation on our data, and I will get on and do that. So I like that idea. Yes, I'll be doing that one as well from now on. So thank you, Lida.
Yeah, I think that could definitely, you know, using the data of what people are consuming and how can then drive what you're needing to develop in the future and maybe how you might need to change that. So are there any other kinds of reports that people should think about using or creating and why? And one of the things that comes to my mind is, you know, is anyone doing kind of some follow-up surveying or reporting after the fact to figure out and maybe connect the learning activity to performance yet? So Lida, you want to lead us off on that? What other kind of reports do you think people should think about using and creating? I know this is just kind of wrapping everything up for folks.
Yeah, sure. We are not doing any performance, you know, connecting to performance. That's a big challenge, I think. Everybody in learning and development is always looking to see how you can do that. But one of my favorite reports is our courses not taken report. As I mentioned, we, you know, kind of use that for internal marketing purposes. And it's really nice when you might see that, you know, registrations are a little down on this, but the feedback was that people wanted this class. And so just sometimes that simple email right out to the people who haven't signed up for the class yet or haven't taken it yet is kind of a easy reminder to them. So I use that a lot. So if you don't have a report like that, I would encourage you to build one. The learning path progress report is probably another big one, especially this year. We're doing a lot of learning paths with new hires, trying to give them that self-directed learning that they can do when they need it versus the data dump when they first start. Being able to kind of monitor, you know, are those new hires remembering to go back and complete their learning paths and kind of having that as a tool for follow-up to see where they are. So I think that's another one. And then another one I'd like to get to is something for managers and supervisors. We haven't really done much in that area yet, but there's a growing interest and we've done a little restructuring. And I think there's a lot more interest in managers and supervisors of, you know, promoting their employee development and keeping track of that and having ways to do that. So that's kind of on my project list for this year, is to look into, you know, if we've got that capability and if we do, getting that implemented for managers and supervisors.
So I think a couple of things came up there for me is helping new hires and keeping track of new hires and where they're at. And if they're stumbling and not completing things, you know, maybe digging into why that's happening. So let's not forget our new folks. And then also getting managers more involved. And I think this is an area where law firms have not traditionally done a lot of that kind of middle management work in employee development. And I think you're right that changing a little bit. A lot of learning management systems have that capability. And I'm guessing, Claire, that Saba is one because they're one of the bigger ones. And I'm curious to find out if you're actually using that or what you're doing with that. So Claire, how about you?
Well, you're right. Absolutely right. It does have that capability, but we haven't yet really put that into place yet, performance management, etc. It's an extra piece that you can literally just enable, but we haven't got there at that point yet. So we're still really doing it more the traditional way of sending a report and analyzing it instead of actually using Saba's full-blown performance management tool. We're also, our firm is currently looking at possibly bringing in a new HR database system in case, and I think that's probably going to have that tool built in as well. So it's coming, but it's which tool we're going to use to do that. So currently not doing that, I would recommend, just like some of the examples Lida gave for what reports people should be running. I mentioned it earlier, but I would recommend that doing that one about the time of day. So analyzing what sessions work because of the time of day and the availability of people at those times. That for us is very important, especially when scheduling things for attorneys, as you know, just as well as secretaries and staff, but finding out when their availability is and the best times for them as well. One of the other things is the using the reports. So it's not so much what kind of reports that we run from the LMS, but using those reports in comparison and in conjunction with reports from other areas, for example, our help desk system. So when we, which we often do, we get new hires who have not either played our new hire learning material in their learning plan, or then ring up and they've got lots of, say, queries in certain areas. Just off the top of my head, I'll just say Outlook. We can then run reports and analyze the comparison between the two. That so if we needed to, which we often do, you can say, well, you know, here is what we offer as part of new hire training, as part of the new hire learning plan. But by non-attendance, you can say, here's the increase in the number of calls regarding these particular areas, whether it's file management or email and whatever. So don't isolate your reports. That would be my advice, into just reports on training per se, but use them in comparison with other reports and metrics so that you can analyze the two between learning and results and performance in that regard. So that would be my advice there.
And so that does start to get a little bit into performance and connecting back to that, you know, this person did not avail themselves of the resources we provided, and consequently, here's the cost. So I think that's good advice in that regard. Sean, what about you? What other kinds of reports or things should people think about using or creating, and why?
We've gone ahead and started our new hire reporting on the learning track, so we can see where folks are in their first 7 days, their first 21 days, and their first 60 days, and what they're using, whether they've completed things. And, you know, we use help desk data to drive how we schedule classes in addition to the training reviews and the surveys. So, you know, those are two separate systems that don't communicate with each other, but we'll run those two reports together and see where we find commonality. I'm a big proponent of, if your LMS allows people to review your content, let them do it and run a report on it, because that's someone taking time, and in our case, in most of our cases, that's someone taking billable time to write how they felt about the session or the piece of content. And it's not just a smile sheet that gets emailed to them upon completion that, you know, they fill in a couple of bubbles and then hit submit on. Those things to me are pretty important. And that's one of those things that we really have leaned on since implementing our new LMS. And I think for me, that's probably going to be it on reporting. Most of what we do is on demand. And when someone says, hey, can you get this piece of data? The answer is always yes. But how long it's going to take us to write the report to get there is what we have trouble calculating.
Right. So I think a couple of great things there. And I think this is kind of where things are going, you know, being able to link your LMS to other systems. So when we're getting into the area of starting to talk about XAPI and having a learning record store that can then connect over to your other data sources, because that's when you're going to get into the performance information. And I love the idea, Sean, of if there is a way for folks to review and put in commentary, then having a way to go and look at that and see what exactly is that telling you about what's going on. And I'm a big proponent of, you know, connecting things back to the performance. That's how we really get to showing our worth. And some LMSs don't provide for that yet with the reporting, but we're getting closer. And like you guys illustrated, you've figured out ways to go and connect the dots there. So I think that's awesome. Thanks for listening. And I hope to see you on the reporting peer share on March 29th. And then we'll be back in April with e-learning as our LMS topic.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio. Get tuned in.